Our scripture this morning is starting at the beginning. I'm going to be going through the Gospel of John for the next several weeks for a couple of reasons. One, I felt like I couldn't go wrong by starting with the Gospel. Two, John thinks differently, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But John not only goes back to the beginning, but even before that, and we'll talk about that too. The other thing, though, that John does is he talks a lot about firsts and uses those firsts to help us see and understand what will come after all of those firsts. And so as I thought about being here in my first Sunday, and I'm sure pretty soon my first mistake or first whatever, that also relates to John and how John wants us to see and to think about Jesus and God and how they unfold in our lives and in the world. And so here now, the word of the Lord from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, and he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Lord, we pray that your word would come alive and be at work in us, that the meditations of my heart and that the words of my mouth, Lord, that you would use them, that you would speak in and through them. Holy Spirit, we pray now that you would come and that you would give us understanding and comfort and guidance and wisdom, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, does anybody remember back in the late 90s and early 2000s, Apple's advertising campaign called Think Different? Does anybody remember those? It was one of their more famous, Lisa does, thank you, Lisa, back there. It was one of their more famous advertising campaigns that actually is partly credited with turning the company around when it was in dire straits. And the whole idea was to counter partly IBM's whole thing of think, right? And so Apple came up with Think Differently. And if you remember the ads, they went something like this. They were black and white, and they had a voiceover, and they showed people like Einstein and Gandhi and Thomas Edison, people who have had a significant impact on the world. And it called them the crazy ones because they were crazy enough to think that they could change the world. And then, of course, the whole idea was that if you buy an Apple, you too can think different, right, and do something that big as well. Well, as I mentioned, John thinks differently. John approaches his gospel in a different way than do Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And John, in his vision and in his imagination, gives us writings like Revelation, as well as his letters that all approach things from a little bit different angle. And as I mentioned when I was here, I'm doing my candidating sermon, I have found the writings of John to be very helpful, to be very poignant for our time and place. Because our world is changing and that pace of change is going to do nothing but increase. And as that change happens, we too need to think differently. And the reason why John thought a little differently is because he was deeply convicted that what had happened in and through the life and the death and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus changed the very fabric of the universe. That everything was different because of that. And so, like the whole thing of Apple and thinking different and being willing to change the world, John was convicted that that had happened in Jesus. And John, by his participation, actually helped that happen as well, and in through his life and writings. So John goes out to the big picture, but then also zeroes in at times in ways that having that big picture in the background isn't possible without that there. And as I mentioned, John really likes firsts, and so for the next few weeks, we'll go through some of the firsts that John brings us. But when I first began studying John, I thought, oh, well, John is one of the only gospel writers that goes back to creation, right, all the way back to creation. Not just to Jesus' background or his genealogy, but all the way back to creation, right, in the beginning. But actually, John goes back even further than creation, because he doesn't say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, in closest relationship to God, as he puts at the end of our passage. So even before anything was created was the Word, the Logos, Jesus, in relationship with, face to face, with God. And so all that is and was and ever will be flows out of that relationship. In other words, relationship came before even creation, that relationship between Word and Father. And so that then, as John lays out his gospel, becomes foundational. I think that when I was candidating after the sermon and during the question and answer time, I believe it was Ed, right, asked me a great question. What is your vision for covenant, right, moving forward? And I gave what might have been thought of by some as a wishy-washy answer. Well, I don't really know the answer to that question. But the reason I answered that way is because of what I believe about this exact thing. We need to do some recreating. We need to do some restoring and renewing. The life that God has for covenant moving forward will be tied to our past, but it will be different. But the thing that I know is that we won't get fully where we need to go unless what happens first happens out of relationship. What we create comes in and out of relationship. And so I couldn't answer Ed's question because I need to renew relationship, I need to build relationship, I need to listen, I need to do all of those things, and then we together need to begin to figure out what it is that God is doing in and through those relationships. The other thing that I know is that the healthier those relationships are, the more functional they are, then the more beautiful the thing that we create will be. So we all need to be working on how do we relate to one another, to God, to creation, to our community, to the world around us in more and more healthy ways. So John goes back to even before creation to say that it was out of the relationship between Jesus and God that creation sprang forth. The other thing that we often miss, though, in just those simple words of in the beginning means that John is starting to tell a story. And stories have a what? A beginning and a middle and an end. That's what makes a story a story. It has to have a beginning and a middle and an end. And so this seems almost crazy to say, but even as I began my first Sunday here and my first sermon, I need to do that with the end in mind. And by that I mean that I will not be here forever. Right? I hope I'm here for a long, long time. But throughout my time here, I need to be mindful that there will be someone and others after us that come after us, and that we need to pass on to them light and life and grace and truth. And how we do things prepares for that end. Most of us are now in the middle of things. And where we're headed also informs all of that. What God wants to do in and through us determines how we live now, because in the kingdom, the future breaks into the present. And we need to begin to more and more live like things will be when Christ returns to renew and restore all things. We need to help people taste that, to see it, to feel it, to experience it and to know it. And also has another meaning, right? What is it, the purpose, the end that all things are headed towards? And we get some hints of that in John's gospel as well, this prologue, that God desires life and then light, and as I said, truth and grace to run through all things. And so as we see some of the firsts coming up, we'll get a fuller picture of what he means by those things. But just as Jesus was with God in the beginning, in closest relationship to God, in the beginning, what God most desires is for us to be with him and with each other. Again, it's something that sometimes is so simple that we often overlook it, that it's God's desire for us to be with him and to be with one another. When I was a kid growing up, we didn't have a pantry in our kitchen. And so the pantry was actually in the basement, down at the bottom of the stairs in the basement. And when I got old enough to be helpful and wanted to be helpful, you know, there's that age when you think, oh, I really want to help. And so my mom would say, well, can you go down to the basement and get, right, fill in the blank, flour, rice, whatever it was. And of course, I wanted to help. But immediately within me sprung up this conflict because I was scared of the basement. Okay? I didn't know what was down there, right? I didn't know if I would come back up or not, right? Or what might get me down there while I was in the scary, dark basement. And so often what I would say to my mom is, okay, Mom, I'd love to go get that, but can you come with me, right? Can you come with me? And as a kid, I probably didn't realize that I was defeating the whole point, right, of my mom asking me to help, which was making things more expedient and efficient so that she could do something else while I went and got what she needed. And of course, more often than not, my mom said, of course, right, I will go with you. And she would walk down those basement stairs with me and help me get whatever it is she had asked me to help her get, right, and come back up. And that's a picture of how God chooses to work as well. He could have done the expedient thing, the efficient thing, but he chooses to be with us and to help us help him, to help us carry out his plans in the world. So I don't know where all of you are today. Like I said, most of us are somewhere in the middle. But some of us are coming to ends, whether it's the end of health as we knew it, whether it's the end of a chapter in our lives or a job or a relationship or whatever it may be. Some of us are even facing the actual end of our lives, whether that's through age or illness. And the one thing that God wants us to know as we begin is that he will be with us all the way through to the end. And that makes all the difference.